You can hear the difference. Bright and beautiful music. KIXI, AM and FM, Seattle.
CBS News. The White House is moving to defuse a time bomb involving Congress and Secretary of State Kissinger. I'm Ann Crosman reporting on the CBS Radio Network. A recommendation that Kissinger be shown in contempt of Congress is scheduled to go to the House on Monday. Daniel Shore reports that in order to avert a possible contempt citation, the White House is offering to give the House Intelligence Committee much of the information it's demanded, but which Secretary of State Kissinger has refused to turn over from State Department files. The data involves covert operations that the State Department recommended to the presidents between 1961 and 72. White House counsel Philip Buchan says the material that President Ford is willing to turn over is from minutes of the White House 40 Committee, which Kissinger once headed, and which authorizes covert operations. Mr. Ford is expected to arrive in Washington in about an hour from Hawaii, and Kissinger is heading home, too, after a day in Tokyo, briefing the Prime Minister and Foreign Minister on the President's trip to China last week. More news in a minute.
The time, July 1st, 1931. Amid a 21-gun salute, the USS Constitution is recommissioned. This is James Drury with Navy Chronicle. The USS Constitution was the first sizable frigate commissioned by the United States. Built with timber gathered from Maine to Georgia and copper spikes supplied by Paul Revere, this beautiful, powerful fighting ship became a symbol of American freedom on the seas around the world. She served an active and distinguished career until 1900, when she was declared unseaworthy. But public sentiment saved her. The USS Constitution, the oldest ship in the Navy, is today a symbol of courage and patriotic service by Americans at sea. Old Ironsides remains in Boston Harbor, where she began so long ago in 1797, and she's still a symbol of American freedom.
You've been listening to Navy Chronicle, an historical series with James Drury and the U.S. Navy Band.
Two Democratic presidential hopefuls made appearances on Sunday. Alabama Governor George Wallace attended a rally in Fort Walton Beach, Florida, saying that he supports bringing prayer reading back into public schools, despite a Supreme Court ban to the contrary. Democratic Senator Henry Jackson, appearing in Philadelphia, called on punishment to fit the crime for hardened criminals, saying it's the only way to protect the public, since we don't know yet how to rehabilitate violent criminals. A third man, mentioned by some as presidential material, is causing some political maneuvering in Minnesota. Rich Holter reports from CBS radio affiliate WCCO in Minneapolis.
Senator Hubert Humphrey may not be an active candidate, but a lot of Democrats here in Minnesota and elsewhere think he will be his party's presidential nominee. And just in case, Democratic Congressman Don Frazier has announced as a candidate for Humphrey's Senate seat, the first Minnesota Democrat to do so. Frazier said he met with Humphrey earlier this week and found no indication the former vice president has changed his mind about the primaries.
My own impression is that while his present posture is the right one, that he probably should be prepared to consider changing it if he wants to maximize the possibilities of getting the nomination. But at the moment, he doesn't seem to be entertaining that possibility.
Frazier feels President Ford's move to the right has been partially responsible for Humphrey's remarkable political comeback, and at present, he gives him a 50-50 chance of capturing the Democratic nomination. Rich Holter for CBS News, Minneapolis.
Three Marines were killed in Okinawa Sunday and nine others injured, one of them seriously, in an explosion at Camp Hansen. Marine spokesman Major Mark Arnold says the blast occurred in an area where old ammunition was being detonated.
It's a sort of a demolition pit. They place the ammunition that is to be destroyed, they place it in the pit, and then they have a system to ignite it and burn it, destroy it. We don't know why yet. It's still under investigation, but the material exploded.
Marine spokesman Arnold in Camp Hansen, Okinawa. Now this message.
He's one of CBS News' leading anchorman correspondents, and he began his career 25 years ago at a small radio station in Huntsville, Texas.
What's happening is that the persons charged with leadership trusts in the White House and at the Capitol...
Texan Dan Rather is noted for his reporting and analyses on the national political scene. having been a CBS News White House correspondent for 10 years, except for several months as our London bureau chief. His political reporting has taken him to national conventions, out to the hustings, and into the thick of election night coverage. Rather's an award winner, having taken several top journalistic prizes, one for his reports on the Watergate affair, and another for his work on First Line Report. On the international scene, he's taken CBS News cameras and microphones inside the People's Republic of China, the Soviet Union, and many other countries as well. Listen for Dan Rather's reports, along with those of other top CBS News correspondents, on First Line Report, every Monday through Saturday on the CBS Radio Network.
Talks are scheduled to resume Monday to try to end a strike by United Airlines ground workers. The 16,000-member union called a strike on Saturday, and all flights have been canceled through Tuesday night. Negotiations are set to continue Monday in Pittsburgh on a new contract for public school teachers. The one-week-long strike has kept more than 60,000 students out of class. I'm Ann Crosman, CBS News.
Radio Mystery Theater presents Come in. Welcome. I'm E.G. Marshall. Before you joined me, I was sitting thinking of all the murders, mayhem, and malevolence I have brought to you in the name of mystery. Suddenly, in this unaccustomed mellow mood, I thought upon the obverse side of the coin, the antithesis of the devil's advocates, the ministers of God. And it occurred to me that as much terror and suspense are contained in the mystery and magic that is invested in them by a higher power, a greater force, only this time, not a force for evil. So I thought a story from the other point of view might be interesting for a change.
Nurse! Nurse! Somebody! Help! Help!
What is it, Miss Riggs? What's happened?
Chaplain Morgan, he just suddenly collapsed. Is he dead, Dr. Shelton?
Nurse, take care of the patient. Orderly, send me another nurse from the floor, quickly.
What is it, Liz? What happened to Dan?
I don't know yet, Mike.
Well, so help me, if anything has. This one I'm pinning directly on that cold fish, Dr. Hugh Bradley. Our mystery drama, He Moves in a Mysterious Way, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Ian Martin and stars Terry Keane. It is sponsored in part by Time Magazine and Buick Motor Division. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
Am I ready?
You're ready.
I'm more than ready, Sandra. I am ready.
You're really ready.
I mean, I've read every word of this week's Time Magazine.
Armed to the teeth.
I read the Time departments on show business, education, business, art, people, medicine.
Loaded for bear, Wayne.
Yeah, anything they want to talk about, I'm ready.
Ready, willing.
Won't be like last time, Sandra, sitting there all evening twiddling my thumbs while everybody else was being bright, witty, and smart.
Ring the doorbell, Wayne.
You bet I will, Sandra, because thanks to Time, I'm ready.
Hello, Jennifer. We're here for your parents' dinner party.
We're here and we're ready.
They were here and ready last night.
Last night?
Uh-huh.
Jennifer, did you hear the amusing anecdote Kissinger told in Rome last week?
Huh?
or the exciting news about the oil depletion allowance?
What?
I read a very provocative letter from a reader in Larchmont.
Bye.
The ad on page 4... Don't close the door, sweetheart.
You know what time does, and reading it every week reminds you how well.
Here's a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system. Have you noticed the metric measurements on packaged foods at your supermarket lately? Soon the metric system of measurement will be commonplace all around the country, and you should be ready for it. Look carefully at the metric measurements on the foods you buy. They may seem bewildering at first, but they make a lot more sense than the system of measurement we're currently using. For example, right now, fluid measures are expressed in gallons, quarts, and pints. Dry measures are expressed in bushels, pecks, dry quarts, and pints. And a dry quart is 16% larger in volume than a liquid quart. By using the metric system, however, you only need to know one unit of measurement for liquid volume, the liter. All other fluid measurements are multiples of the liter. And similarly, dry volumes are measured by the gram and multiples of the gram. This has been a tip from your Better Business Bureau on the metric system.
It was the 18th century poet William Cowper who gave us that familiar and wonderful quote, "God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform." This story is a reflection of that. Belleville Community Hospital, though located in the town of its name, services the entire county of Fairchild. It is the pride and joy of the five main towns and their smaller brothers and sisters who draw on its dependable service. But Belleville Hospital is stretched beyond its usual adequate capacity at this moment as a result of a train wreck on the line to New York.
This is Dr. Shelton. Just want to alert you, Brownie. We can expect 20 to 30 more casualties according to police estimates. Our patient facilities are already jammed, so we'll use the children's emergency section temporarily. In case of serious injuries that look surgical, refer all admissions to Dr. Bradley.
Nurse, I'm admitting this patient on the cart. Elizabeth Riggs.
I knew you'd have to, Dr. Bradley, Dr. so Shelton. I had her chart prepared.
Yes, very efficient, Doctor. My compliments to the outpatient department.
I want my service to satisfy the new chief of staff.
As long as it stays efficient, it will.
Dr. Bradley?
Yes, Dr. Bernardo.
They're screaming for you in OR.
You can hold the dramatics. I'm on my way. Better check out this patient in the meanwhile, Elizabeth Riggs. I've given her light sedation. She's pre-op. No need to diagnose her. I've already done that. Slight concussion, fractured patella, calcaneus, and some messy damage in the ankle to the fibular and tibial termini. You'll find it all on the chart. Well, I'm on my way to the OR.
I would like to take his chart.
Mike, remember who he is.
Sure. A genius at getting my backup. Come on, orderly. Let's go.
Fly easy, Paisan.
What do you want from a crazy Italian?
Liz, I got here as fast as I could. What is it?
Train wreck, Chaplain. Sorry to haul you out of bed in the middle of the night.
Only time anyone really needs a chaplain or a minister is when there's trouble.
You look a little under the weather. You all right?
Oh, just half asleep. I'm the last one to be worried about.
Not my leg! No! Not my leg!
What's going on in here, nurse? Miss Riggs.
I won't let them. I won't let anyone.
Miss Riggs.
Yes? Oh, you're the doctor.
I treated you when you came in.
What's the matter with my arms?
You had to be put under restraint. It's imperative you stay as still as possible.
I can't, don't you see? I can't.
Miss Riggs, you are not the only victim of the train wreck.
Train wreck? Oh, that's it. My leg. I lost my leg.
Now, don't be silly. You have some broken bones, but you have not lost your leg. Now, give me that, nurse.
You're lying to me. I can't feel it.
Help me hold her, nurse. Now, where's Dr. Bernardo?
Here, doctor.
And you hold her. Now, lie still, Riggs. We only want to help.
I don't want to be helped.
Sure you do, baby. That's what we're here for. You want to walk out of here as soon as possible, don't you?
Are you a surgeon?
Just hired help.
I'm the surgeon. Suave that, nurse. This is Dr. Bernardo.
If you're the surgeon, I want to know something. Why can't I feel anything where my left leg ought to be?
Because I immobilized it till Dr. McNeil, the orthopedist, has time to operate on it.
I don't believe you.
I haven't time to argue. I want to see you a moment, Dr. Bernardo. Now convince this grown-up child that she has two good legs, will you?
I'll try to the best of my limited ability.
I don't ask for any more than you have to give.
Why, you cold inhumans. Nurse, bring me that hand mirror from the bureau. Surest way to convince you, Miss Riggs. Let you see for yourself. Oh, thanks, nurse. You want to pull the bedclothes back? Okay. I see. One of them in a light plaster bandage cast, but both where they belong.
Didn't Dr. Bradley show me that?
Well, he might have if you'd given him a chance instead of throwing a wingding.
Oh, I shouldn't have, but my legs are very special to me.
Now I can see where they would be.
I didn't mean the way they look.
Oh, neither did I, although I wouldn't knock it. But I know you're a dancer.
It's my whole life. If I couldn't have... Oh, especially now...
Nothing to worry about at the moment.
But I've got... Oh, I feel woozy.
Well, that's the sedation.
What is that surgeon going to do to me?
You have a cracked kneecap and a broken ankle. He's going to fix them.
I don't want an operation.
Well, we'll work that out when the time comes. You rest now and let the sedation work.
I don't want to be alone. I just wish that...
What?
You wouldn't understand. I'm scared. I think God is punishing me, and I want to... Oh, I don't know what I want.
There's a chaplain in the hospital, Reverend Dan Morgan, real good guy. Want to talk to him?
Could I? I know I can't sleep until... Would he have time for me?
Miss Riggs, Dan Morgan could be drawing his last breath... And he'd hold it till he got through helping anyone who needed him.
Come in.
You looking for me, Pat?
Mike Bernardo just called down, Dan. Could you talk to that dancer with the badly injured leg?
Well, sure, of course. About what?
She's fighting an operation, and she asked for a minister.
All right. Should she have the operation?
If she doesn't, she may never walk properly again. She could even lose it.
Oh.
Dan, you look tired. You don't look well. Maybe you should go home and rest.
When I'm needed? No, not in your life. What's the girl's name?
Elizabeth Riggs, room 317.
A dancer, you say, huh?
Yes.
Ballet?
Modern, I suppose, not classical.
But a professional?
Yes.
And if the operation is successful, will she dance again?
I doubt it.
And more than ever, she needs me. Yes, of course I'll see her. God's will be done. Hello, Elizabeth Riggs. I'm Chaplain Dan Morgan.
Oh, how good of you to come. Was I asleep?
For a while.
I'm sorry.
It was good for you.
Not good enough. I need help, Chaplain.
Help? Wireless?
I'm afraid of the operation. I think they want to cut off my leg or my foot.
Now, did they say they would?
No, but doctors never tell you.
Of course they do. No one thinks you're going to lose your leg.
I do.
Why?
Because I think God wants to punish me.
Punish you? But what for?
There's a boy, Peter Sterrett. We were very much in love. That's what I went upstate for, to marry him.
And?
At the last moment, I couldn't. I ran out on the whole wedding. My parents, his, everyone. I took the train back to New York. That's why God punished me.
Oh, I wouldn't say that. There were 64 people in that train wreck. God's a little more efficient than that.
Now you make me feel ashamed.
I meant to. I don't believe in a God of vengeance who reaches out to hurt and punish, and neither should you, Liz. We make our own punishments.
Well, I didn't make the train wreck.
No, but you climbed aboard that train to run away.
But I had to. Chaplain Morgan, dancing isn't just a profession. It's a whole way of life. And that's what I realized at the last moment. I couldn't give it up to marry Peter.
Well, you said you loved him.
I do. It tore me apart to give him up, but I had to make the choice.
Child, why couldn't you have both?
Because Peter's a minister just like you. Can you imagine him running a parish with his wife in a Broadway show and cleavage down to my navel and net stockings up to my bikini?
Okay, Dan, buddy boy, I'm on my way. That was Dan. He's calmed our terpsichorean terror, and she now is ready to sign for the operation. All right, give me a form, hon, and I'll go make sure she's prepped.
Well, here's your form. Just watch your own.
What's that mean?
You want to be a resident in surgery, don't you?
It's my life, outside of you.
Me you got. Just take it easy if Dr. Bradley's the surgeon.
Okay. So the guy gravels me. I'll try to stay out of his hair.
Mike, he's a new broom. Give him a chance to work in.
Oh, I'll be a good little soldier. Anything he can dish out, I can take.
That's my boy.
Just hold the good thought. Too bad it's neither sane nor sanitary for one doctor to kiss another. All right, take the wish for the deed. I love you. You can order the cart to take her up to the ready room, nurse. She's all cleared for OR. Oh, hi, Dan.
Hey, come and stop, hey, son.
Good evening, Padre mio. Hey, you don't look so hot.
Oh, I'm a little tired.
Why don't you hit the sack?
No, not till the action's over.
Hey, wait a minute. Maybe I ought to run a little check on you.
Oh, don't be silly. Why?
What are you rubbing your gut for?
Oh, come on, Mike. A little indigestion. Somebody sneaks some cucumber in my salad again.
No. You don't double over like that from cucumber. I'd better take
you. You assisting Dr. McNeil?
Yes, Dr. Bradley, but...
Then you ought to be up in the scrub room already. Now, let's go.
I was on my way, but the chaplain here needs a checkup.
The chaplain can take care of himself. Has Miss Riggs been prepped?
Yes, sir, but...
Get in the elevator, Dr. Ames.
Yes, sir. Dr. Bradley. Yes, sir. Private Bernardo reporting for duty. But may I recommend that the chaplain be temporarily relieved from his?
Do you want to be relieved, chaplain?
Oh, come on, you have enough to worry about besides me.
Now, if you need a rest...
No. I think I'll go in and sit with that poor child when she's taken up to OR. She needs me more than I need anything. Well, how are you feeling, Liz?
I don't know. Far away, but still scared.
Oh, now you mustn't be.
I won't lose my leg.
You mustn't think about that.
Even if it's saved, will I dance again?
Whatever is to be, just leave it in God's hands.
It's so easy for you. Words, just words.
No, never just words, Liz. I've stayed with you because I wanted to help you find strength. Don't let it be for nothing. Let me have achieved at least that.
Nurse! Somebody, help!
What is it? What's happened?
Chaplain Morgan. He just suddenly collapsed.
Nurse, take care of the patient. Orderly, get me another nurse from the floor right away. How'd the operation go?
I don't know. Good, I guess. McNeil's the best bone man around, but that leg, it was a mess. How's Dan?
I don't know.
Running fever?
Low grade, but he's still in coma.
Mm. What were the symptoms when you first examined him?
Well, nothing too definite. He's got a surgical abdomen, no doubt about that. But what?
Did you get blood samples?
Waiting for them now.
You haven't been able to bring him to at all?
No.
If God owes anyone a break, it's to him.
A bitter young man, but then a very tired and exhausted one, and a deeply concerned one for a man who is as close as his father. Still, Dr. Michael Bernardo should know that in the eyes of God, all men are equal. Or are they? We have listened so many times to the triumph of evil on this program. Perhaps the power of good
is not as strong. I'll return shortly with Act Two.
When you say bed, you've said a lot of things nobody else can say.
A lot of things, like Beechwood aging for 100% natural carbonation. That's how the Budweiser people age their beer. Nobody else does it that special way. But then, nobody else is brewing the king of beers. I could tell you a lot of other things about Budweiser and why it's the largest selling beer in the world. But it all comes back to the Budweiser taste, and that speaks for itself. Loud and clear. Hear it talking?
There is no other one. There's only something left. Because the king of beers is leading all the rest. When you say Budweiser,
you've said it all.
Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
As an army infantryman, you have to own more than a good pair of boots.
Go!
You have to own the nerve to rappel from a helicopter and the stamina to survive in the wilderness. You need the savvy to find water where it hasn't rained, food where you can't see any, and your way home where the stars are your only roadmap. You also need the skill to turn ropes into bridges, ponchos into rafts, and personnel carriers on a dime. Infantry in today's army isn't easy, but then hardly anything worthwhile is.
Join the people who join the army. You could start building your tomorrows today. Join the people who join the army. You could go a long, long way.
For information, call 800-523-5000 toll free. Join the people who join the army.
Across Dan's bed, Dr. Patricia Shelton and Dr. Mike Bernardo's eyes lock in concern for their barely breathing friend. From beyond the curtain and the other bed in the room, from the big, heavily muscled, early middle-aged man in it, comes a rhythmic and ear-shattering snore.
Oh, great. That the best roommate we could find for Dan?
Well, we were lucky to have a bed at all. Even the standby rooms are all taken.
I'll get him off his back.
No, you can't. He's in traction.
Back?
Yeah. McNeil's patient, too.
From the train wreck?
No, he's been here a week or so.
Oh, I'm tired.
Why don't you grab some shut-eye, huh? We can't do anything till we get the tests back or Dan comes, too. Go stretch out in the lounge. I'll wake you the moment the tests are back, huh? Come on, I'll walk you there. How'd the operation go for Liz Riggs?
McNeil patched the knee fairly easily, but the ankle and the socket of the tibia were fragmented, plus the broken calcaneus. She'll be lucky to retain even partial mobility.
Which means no more dancing?
Certainly not professionally. I'd hate to have to be the one to tell her.
Hey, where the Sam Hill is that? Damn. Hey, you in the next bed. Hey, you awake? Hey, what is this, a morgue? Hey, you.
Yes? What is it?
I don't know what's with you, brother, but my back is killing me. I want to ring for the nurse, but the gizmo with a button just fell off of the bed. Can you get it for me, huh?
Just a minute. Here, I'll get the call button. Shall I ring for you, or I'll get you a doctor?
No, forget it. I'm all right for the moment.
Yes, but you're in pain, you...
Oh, I can take it. What do you got, Mac?
I don't know. I don't even know how I got here.
I hope it's nothing catching.
No, I'm sure it isn't. I thought I had a... But there isn't any pain anymore.
count your blessings, fella.
Dan, what are you doing out of bed?
No, I'm all right.
You are not. Nurse, help me get him back in bed.
No, I...
You're running a fever. Nurse, get Dr. Bernardo down here right away. He's catching a nap in the father's lounge on maternity. Dan, won't you ever take care of yourself?
Hey, what's the big fuss? Who is this guy? Huh, I was right. A doctor, huh?
Not an M.D. He's the hospital chaplain, the Reverend Dan Morgan.
A minister, for crying out loud. That's all I need. Okay, Dan. Let me know if and where it hurts.
Oh, there.
Uh-huh. How about here?
Tender. Doesn't hurt as much.
Okay, Dan, that's it.
Confirmed?
The WBC will bear it out this time around. The peritonitis caused by a ruptured appendix that perforated. How did you ever take the pain, Dan?
Well, it wasn't that bad. Everyone was busy with real emergencies. My help was needed by others.
So you just let your appendix explode. All right, roll them to you, Pat. Streptomycin too, nurse.
Your technique is too good, Mike. I didn't feel any needles.
Of all the bonehead stunts to pull.
So many people. I couldn't let them down.
Fever's rising. I don't like it.
You in pain still, Dan?
No. I was just thinking about that poor little dancer.
Look, concentrate on yourself. Let us worry about Miss Riggs. There's no problem of her losing her leg. Dr. McNeil did a bang-up job. With luck, she'll regain almost total mobility. Pat,
mm-hmm.
Will you sit on this stubborn mule till that kick goes out of him?
I will. Go make like a doctor.
At least my other patients treat me like one.
You still going to marry that crazy Italian?
The first moment I can pin him down.
Then I'll stick around. I don't know who he figures will be best man, but Dan Morgan knows who'll be the most important. Or I'll make sure he ties the knot within the faith with my own two hands. My own two hands joining the two of you in the side.
Morning, Miss Riggs.
Morning, Dr. Bernardo.
Well, you look pert and pretty this morning.
Oh, I feel wonderful. I can almost feel the bones knitting. I could just jump right out of bed, do a jeté, or handle a waltz clog just like that.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't rush things.
Well, not without a warm-up, anyway. I bet you I'll be dancing in no time, thanks to Chaplain Morgan. How is he today? Is he better?
I wish I could say he was.
Didn't they take out his appendix?
No, not yet.
You mean it's serious?
It could be very serious.
Oh, I wish I could do something for him.
You could. You could see a young man who's waiting downstairs. Peter Starrett.
How did he find me?
As sick as the chaplain was last night, he managed to contact him.
He knows it's all over between Peter and me.
Why? Because you just can't bear to hang up those little red shoes?
Something like that.
I think maybe what Chaplain Morgan wanted to tell you was that a dancer has a short life. And sooner or later, she has to hang them up. A marriage can last a lot longer.
I can't. It wouldn't be fair to Peter or to me.
That's the message you want me to give him? And the chaplain?
Dr. Bernardo, I will be able to dance, won't I?
I'm not the one to ask that question to, Miss Riggs. You'd better ask it of the surgeons, Dr. McNeil or Dr. Bradley.
Good morning, Mr. Wolf.
Hey. Morning, chaplain.
See, you're out of traction.
Yeah. How you feel?
Oh, I felt better. Thirsty.
Hold it a minute. I'll get you some ice water.
No, you're back. You mustn't get out.
Yes,
You can lug a busted appendix around and not complain. I can manage a stiff back. Here. Oh,
thanks. Oh, yeah. Thanks.
You want some more?
Please. Yeah. That was good. Yeah. That's good.
Hey, what is it, Parson?
A knife. Knife!
I'll get the doctor.
Don't answer that. It might be Peter for me.
Could be a call for me, too.
But if it should be Peter, I'm just not ready to talk to him. Couldn't you just let it go?
Sure. Nothing so urgent it won't last till I get to the nurse's desk. I'll be seeing you, Miss Riggs.
Ice water for a man with peritonitis. Where were you, Dr. Bernardo?
I went to see Miss Riggs. You know, the dancer.
Who is not your patient?
No, sir.
You don't like me very much, do you, Dr. Bernardo?
Well, that is a bit direct. Puts me at quite a disadvantage.
Because you've applied here for a residency in surgery? My personal feelings would not dictate my judgment of your qualifications. Unless you wish to withdraw your application.
Not yet, sir.
Oh? What does that depend on? The success of our operation on Chaplain Morgan?
To a degree.
Then we must be sure that it is immaculately successful.
As far as I'm concerned, it's the same way no matter who's on the table.
I deserve that rebuke. I bought it because of my own resentments. I'm human, not a robot.
You are kind of a stickler for detail.
You're damn right. A doctor can make minor mistakes, which can be rectified. Isn't quite the same with a surgeon. Habit, discipline, minute attention to detail, constant vigilance and objectivity. That's what a surgeon has to pay. Still want to be one?
As long as I don't have to retire from the human race.
Like me. That perhaps is a personal trait, but I have some reason. You see, one surgeon's momentary carelessness, his anxiety to look up and be a nice guy and assure me everything was going well, cost me my wife. And with it, a large part of me. Well, no one is very much interested in my immortal soul. Now, Dan Morgan is something else again. But for the moment, objectively, just another surgical problem. Agreed?
I'll assist to the best of my ability.
I'll accept that, Doctor. The patient is waiting. Shall we go?
The great poet, W.H. Auden, had a craggy face so masked with wrinkles that Igor Stravinsky once said, "Soon we'll have to smooth it out to see exactly who he is." Dan Morgan's face is like that. Only now, under anesthetic, it is smoothed out. The only difference is that as the two surgeons approach, it is less a revelation than a mask. The mask of encroaching death. I'll return shortly with Act 3.
Isn't it nice to know you're free? To see the things you want to see. To touch the heights you dare to reach. To know you're all that you can be.
In the free spirit department, Buick's midsize 1976 Century has a lot going for it. Efficient size, lots of room, neat things like that. But Century offers bonuses. It's a Buick, remember, which says one heck of a lot about how nicely it takes care of you. And Century does something for the sake of practicality that no other American midsize car does. It comes with a V6 engine, and a Buick V6 at that. Century, the spirit will move you.
Free spirit, Buick on the wing of the wind.
When a
storm's been brewing, whose weather bureau helps your weather bureau give you an early warning?
Who got all of the world's pilots and control towers to speak English so you can land safely no matter where you fly?
Who's just about wiped out smallpox so your kids may never need a vaccination? And who set the standards of purity on the imported food you eat?
Who helps you in dozens of ways you never dreamed of? The United Nations. Find out what the UN's been doing to help you.
Send for the free UN booklet. Write United Nations Association, Box 475, New York 10017. That's United Nations Association, Box 475, New York 10017. There's always been a U in the UN, a public service of this station and the Advertising Council.
The operation is completed, and the two surgeons return to the locker room, still gowned, capped, gloved, and masked. With a quick practice move, Dr. Bradley divests himself of gloves, mask, and cap, dropping them in a sanitary container.
What are Dan's chances?
You saw what was there when we opened. The infection is massive and well established. The drain should bring relief, I hope more than temporary.
But once we can get a reading on the culture, we can pick the right antibiotic to knock out the infection?
If we're lucky.
If Dan doesn't pull through this...
If he doesn't, Doctor, I shall resign from this hospital. I was guilty of just what I demand from my staff. Total thoroughness on every case.
Well, in all fairness, sir, with 65 victims of a train wreck suddenly dumped on you...
It still doesn't excuse carelessness or inattention. You know, I'm going to the recovery room to check on Chaplain Morgan. I might suggest you get together with Dr. McNeil and prepare Miss Riggs to face her future.
Yes, Mike, I guess I understand. Oh, he's here in the waiting room, all right, looking pretty forlorn. What? Well, I'll do my best. Yeah, okay, I'll talk to him. Hello, Reverend Sterrett.
Oh, hello. Dr.
Shelton.
Oh, yes. Excuse me, I know the others, but I wasn't as sure of you.
Because I'm a lady doctor?
No. Because I only met you once briefly.
I know. Have you seen Miss Riggs?
No. She doesn't want to see me.
That's because she doesn't know the truth yet.
The truth?
That she'll never be able to dance again.
But he didn't tell me that.
He didn't know it then.
Just lives.
Reverend Sterrett, after the accident, your fiancé was in psychogenic shock. It took Dan, the chaplain, to persuade her to have any operation at all just so she could walk again. All the doctors agreed that since her career was so vital to her, the news that she didn't have one anymore had to be broken to her carefully.
Oh, I agree. Elizabeth has to be told the truth. And we've got to figure out how.
Good evening, Miss Riggs. I'm Dr. Hugh Bradley. I don't know if you remember, but I treated you an emergency and admitted you to the hospital.
Yes, I remember. How soon can I dance again?
Well, the first thing is to walk. As for the other, Miss Riggs, I think you'll have to make an adjustment in your mind. Now, I don't believe in hiding the truth from patients. There isn't a chance that you'll ever be able to dance professionally again.
Oh, good morning, Dr. Bradley. Did you have me on page?
Yes. McNeil is off today, and his patient, Miss Riggs, had an attack of hysterics last night. I had to sedate her.
What happened? Was it Peter Sterrett being here upset her so much?
Well, whoever he is, no. I simply told her something that should have been made clear to her from the first, that her dancing days are over.
Just like that?
Well, she had a right to know.
But abruptly, coldly,
You just don't
Miss
say...
Miss Riggs is not under psychiatric care. She is of age, and we are doctors. Our function is to heal and inform. She asked for you, and I said you would stop by this morning.
Hi, Liz. Do you want to see me?
Yes. I want you to get Peter Sterrett off my back and out of here. I never want to see him again, nor any of you.
Now, look, I just got the bad word about you, too. So you're not going to be Margaret Fontaine or whatever. But you're not going to be crippled either. And this way, there's nothing to stand between you and that nice guy who loves you. And
nothing to stand between us. That's for laughs. No, it's worse than ever. We just don't stand a chance at all.
What do you mean?
Oh, you wouldn't understand. No doctor would. That's why I've got to see the chaplain.
Well, all things considered, you seem in fairly good shape this morning. How do you feel, Dan?
All things considered, not so hot. But I think if Elizabeth Riggs wants to see me, I must see her.
Once we've licked the peritonitis, you're in no condition
I must see her to convince myself that I didn't fail.
And if you did...
No disgrace and failure, Mike, as long as you tried to the utmost. If I'm to be called home, let me try to go with a clean conscience.
You're sure you feel all right, Dr. Bradley?
Well, of course.
You know you're supposed to rest after donating blood.
I realize that. By some strange chance, the chaplains and mine match. I'd like to think that... Well, I mean, I
He's due for a replacement. I'll see he gets this particular bottle. Oh, hi, Mike. Where are you taking Miss Riggs?
To see Dan.
He's in no condition for visitors.
He was the one who insisted. And, just in case, I wouldn't deny him anything he asked. Well, I've wheeled it to you, Dan, although you shouldn't be seeing any visitors.
I wonder, Doctor, if I might claim the privilege of the confessional?
Well, not for long. You have less strength than you think you have.
And maybe Liz and I can find a lot of it between us.
But if you hadn't been worried about me, you'd have gone back to the doctors for help.
If I hadn't been worried about you, I would have no right to the principles I serve. I should say principle. Will you still turn your back on him?
I'd rather talk about you.
There may not be much time to talk about me, so I have to be abrupt. Because I have so little strength left. Are you going to marry Peter?
I can't. More than ever now.
Why? Don't you love him?
I've always loved him. But I broke that love for a simple thing like a wish for a career. Chaplain, when Dr. Bradley told me that I could never dance again, of all the reactions that I had, the most definite and unshakable was that I cannot believe in a God who would take away from me the one thing that I have worked all my life to achieve.
And because of that, even though it removed another less important barrier, you can't go back to the man who loves you.
Of all men, how can I? He's a minister like you, and I no longer believe in God.
Oh, Liz, I don't believe that. I don't think you're like all the people who put on religion like a Sunday dress just for the occasion. You can't deny him any more than I can. Or Peter. Because no matter how hard all of us try, in the end, we must have a personal God. Take him to your heart.
How can I? Forget me. How can he destroy a man like you?
Can't I convince you that death is not destruction? Certainly not. Not for me. What would you ask? A miracle?
I don't know. I don't know what I want. Just for you not to die.
All right, then help me to live. Don't deny him. Liz, I once prayed for you. Now, well, if you want, try to pray for me.
Oh, Chaplain, don't you see it would just be a mockery when I don't believe? Chaplain. Chaplain, are you... Oh, I've got to get the doctors.
Excuse me, miss.
Oh, who...
It's okay, it's okay. I've been a chaplain's roommate these last days. I was in the bathroom shaving and cleaning up to go home.
And you overheard?
Yeah. I couldn't help hearing some of it. And you got to listen to me. Because I got something to say.
No, I can't listen now. The chaplain...
It'll only take a minute. And the way I see it, maybe you can do him more good right this moment than all the doctors in the world. Faith and belief didn't put any fingers on you or the chaplain. The one on him, he put there himself.
I don't know what you mean.
I mean, when you were brought into this hospital, the chaplain was dying of pain. He needed a doc a lot more than you did, but he stuck with you. Even with his appendix exploding inside him, he covered it up to help you out. The poison's all through him now, and maybe he's dying. But if it is, it's a risk he took for you. To save not only your leg, but, well, all of you. Now, are you going to make the belief that made him sacrifice himself for you the way he did be all for nothing? Or are you going to give back something of yourself in return? Well, I'll go get the docs now and leave you to think about it.
Oh, my God. I have heartily offended you. I beg you to forgive me. I implore you to listen to me. I am nothing but he. This man is so important. I don't know how to say it, to ask it, but please, in your infinite mercy, dear Father in heaven, who looks after us all and wants to help us, please help this one man who deserves it more than any of us. Don't let him be wasted. I ask it with all my heart, in your name.
It's all right, Miss Riggs. Just take it easy.
I should have called you sooner.
Oh, forget it. As a doctor, I tell you it's all right.
You mean he's going to live?
You ever seen anything more beautiful than plain, ordinary sweat? It's broken. The ever-loving fever is broken. We're on the way.
He asked me to pray.
Whatever it was that did it, he answered.
He answered? You mean that God somehow...
The oldest cliche in the world, Miss Riggs. Man proposes, God disposes. No matter how far medicine takes us, in the end, that's the result.
Then the chaplain will be all right.
Just give him a look. Bathed in perspiration, his fever tumbling, and blissfully asleep. Oh. We're all getting out of this lucky. Except you, maybe.
Oh, that's decided. Oh, it isn't all that much of a life as a dancer. As long as Peter is still around, if he still wants me.
He is, and he sure does. We couldn't have moved him out of here with a bulldozer. Now, we've only one restriction before you leave here. We expect to be invited as guests at the wedding.
Well, it won't take place without you. Because one thing I'll never give in to Peter about. The chaplain will have to marry us.
Why not? We might even make it a double wedding.
There it is. No sound, no fury, but Certainly a tale that signifies something. A mystery. I think it qualifies for the title. As I said in the beginning, and as you have seen for yourself, God does move in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. I'll be back shortly.
First, the good news about the treatment of cancer. Through chemotherapy, which is the use of anti-cancer drugs to lessen pain and lengthen life for many, great progress has been made. Through chemotherapy, a child with leukemia, a woman with breast cancer, a senior citizen with a tumor, can bring a normal balance to their daily lives. Now the bad news. More research is desperately needed to find newer, even more effective anti-cancer drugs, and more programs to bring those treatments to everyone who needs help. You can be part of that research. You can be part of that help. Send a check today to the Chemotherapy Foundation. That's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 10028. This is Bess Meyerson with a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
The Reverend Daniel Morgan did recover. Fortunately, because four anxious young people no longer wanted to postpone weddings too long delayed. It wasn't a double wedding, as once had been considered. Mike was operating the morning Liz and Peter were married, but he was able to make the reception afterwards. As for Pat's marriage to Mike, it was a very simple and quiet one in the hospital chapel, notable for only one thing. The best man was Dr. Hugh Bradley. Our cast included Terry Keane, Patsy Bruder, Leon Janney, Robert Dryden, and Ian Martin. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
So quiet the night, so still the stars, so silent
shut
the
up.
World.
I said shut up. I've got to get hold of myself. Keep tight control. I can't let my mind go. I know. I'm going to have a little trouble with my conscience. Now, that's to be expected. After all, and that's what it was. Of course, I had no choice. I had to. All right, I'll have some bad nights, but it'll go away. The thing to remember is not to panic. Take a deep breath. Collect your thoughts and...
Russell.
Yes. Yes, Cora Jean. I'm ready for you. I can handle my conscience. I can handle you.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
with bright and beautiful music. This is KIXI, Seattle.
CBS News. Cyclone Joan has roared ashore in Western Australia, devastating a small town with winds of up to 135 miles an hour. Extensive damage is reported, but so far there's no word of any casualties. I'm Mike Stanley reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Harold Abrahams reports from Sydney.
The cyclone headed in from the sea straight for the mining town of Port Hedland, situated in one of the most remote regions of Western Australia. 17,000 people were sheltered in their homes, ready for the big blow. It was predicted to be as big as Cyclone Tracy, which devastated Darwin last Christmas Day. Although many of the homes at Port Hedland are cyclone-proof, the cyclone named Joan ripped the roofs from the houses with 120-mile-an-hour winds. 6 inches of rain fell in about 10 hours. The radio station was put off the air, power was cut, and the main street converted into a river running 1 foot deep. Residents took refuge in their bathrooms, many of which had been built as cyclone shelters. Emergency services said almost every house on the seaward side of the town was extensively damaged, but miraculously, no one had been reported injured. Harold Abrahams for CBS News, Sydney.
In nearby Indonesia, Foreign Minister Adam Malik says the Indonesian troops will be withdrawn from East Timor as soon as peace and order have been restored to that 400-year-old Portuguese colony. Indonesian paratroops and marines yesterday joined the pro-Indonesian movement in capturing the capital of Dili, pushing out the forces of the leftist Fretilin movement. Portugal Sunday night broke off diplomatic relations with Indonesia, charging Jakarta with military aggression against East Timor. President Ford is due back in Washington in minutes. That story and other news in a moment.
Well, tonight we're at another Sambo's restaurant and we're talking to the Rip Van Winkle.
That's right.
Now, you were actually sleeping for 20 years.
You know what woke me up?
What?
A rabbit licking on my eyelids.
Really, yes. And I imagine you were very hungry.
Was I hungry. I woke up right at 2 a.m. So I said, what's the best place around? And they all said Sambo's.
Sambo's.
To have it open at that time of the morning was such a break for me, because I'm telling you, I was starved. I didn't know what to order. You know, I said, do you have rack of horse? And they said, well, no, we don't have that. But they said, we have a Moonlighter special.
What's a Moonlighter special?
Well, it's ground beef steak, a couple of AA ranch eggs.
Oh, yes.
A plate of toast and some good hot Sambo's coffee for
Wow.
I didn't know what $1.99 was, what meant now.
So in other words, the Moonlighter special is only for the special breed of people who work by the light of the silvery moon.
That's right. It's served from 10 p.m. sharp to 6 a.m. But they also had all these other things on the menu, so I had everything on the left-hand page. And then I ate the waitress's shoes.
Oh, yes.
She was very nice about it.
Air Force One is due to land at Andrews Air Force Base outside Washington in about a quarter of an hour, bringing President Ford back from a 10-day trip to China, Indonesia, the Philippines, and Hawaii. Before leaving the 50th state, Mr. Ford proclaimed a new Pacific doctrine of peace with all and hostility toward none. And he declared Hawaii a major disaster area as the result of earthquakes, tidal waves, and volcano action on November 29th. Daughter Susan is returning with Mr. Ford, but wife Betty is remaining behind in Hawaii for some surf and sun and mostly rest before heading home Tuesday. Secretary of State Kissinger, who left the presidential party in Manila to fly to Tokyo for a briefing of Japanese leaders, has begun his flight home. He told Japanese Foreign Minister Keiichi Miyazawa that relations between the United States and China are good and will improve gradually. CBS News correspondent Daniel Shore reported Sunday night that President Ford will make available to the House Intelligence Committee the material that Kissinger refused to provide. That refusal resulted in a contempt of Congress citation against Kissinger. President Ford's campaign manager, Howard Beau Calloway, says that to bolster his chances for election, Mr. Ford would be well advised to veto bills dealing with energy, taxes, and picketing of construction sites. Calloway was asked on the CBS News broadcast Face the Nation if he believes President Ford really will veto the tax cut bill in an election year.
I think he will not only do it, but I think he will do it in a way that the American people will understand. He has said over and over that we've got to do something about big deficits. And he has said that if we have a tax cut that is not coupled with a spending cut, then he will veto it. Now, I think that makes sense.
Howard Beau Calloway. Now this.
Hi, everybody. Phil Rizzuto here with a few words for sport fans everywhere. Nightly, Monday through Friday, I bring you Phil Rizzuto on sports over most of these stations. I wrap up the daily events with an action review that includes interviews with players, coaches, and managers, and always give you a preview of what's to come. I also have comments on all phases of the sports world that I know will interest you. Hope you'll listen right here Monday through Friday nights for Phil Rizzuto on Sports on most of these CBS radio network stations.
As new as this minute, that's Newsbreak PM on most of these stations. I'm Charles Collingwood, CBS News. On Newsbreak PM, I'd like to choose for comment something that has a particular meaning to the day. It may be a new development, a social issue, what someone's done or said. Whatever I find timely and interesting, I'll share with you on Newsbreak PM. Join me Monday through Friday on most of these CBS radio network stations.
On Okinawa, three U.S. Marines have been killed and nine others injured in an explosion at Camp Hansen. A spokesman told CBS News the men were destroying some old explosives, setting fire to them in a dump area when the explosion occurred. Some of the injured are listed in serious condition. I'm Mike Stanley, CBS News.